Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Locked On Timberwolves podcast on August 3rd, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, reporting live from the studio, Colt Molesky, here with Tom Schreier. Tom, it's good to be here.
I know, you're finally hosting the show. This is an exciting day.
Finally hosting the show, finally here in person. Great to be here. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about what defining a player's peak and where he's going to perform at his best in his career. I feel like we've heard a lot of this, just talk about everything that's going on with Kyrie Irving. Everybody's saying, oh, he's 25, this is the time to get him, this is the time that you want to see him on the team with the best situation and performing his best basketball because he's 25. And I think for a lot of people, that's something you just hear a lot, but it's not really ever delved into. It's not really explained really well. And I think it has a big impact on the Timberwolves as well, because with Wiggins and Towns, these are guys who are just on the fringe coming into that time where they're going to be 25 right around the corner, 25, 26, and everybody's getting excited about that time period. Why are they getting excited about it? Do you know why, Tom? Have you delved into the science of it?
Oh, I've been talking to my scientists, talking to my nutrition trainer. They say I'm at my peak fitness, and I said I'm a living embodiment, that 27 is not your peak fitness. That's what they told me.
I believe it, that you're a top performer right now. Absolutely.
Top performer.
It. Absolutely.
Going to go run a marathon in 3 days.
For sure. So I'm not a scientist either, but I did do some study into the numbers this morning. And what I came up with was the formula that people are looking to most is points plus the percentage that you're shooting at, plus your free throw percentage, plus rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, all those stats combined into one is basically your player efficiency. And then if you take that number and put it in every 36 minutes, you kind of measure it out by every 36 minutes, that's where you're going to get your most efficient, when you're on the basketball court, your most efficient basketball player numbers, player by player. And all those numbers across the board for every player are spiking around that 26 to 27 range. Now, there is a different way to do it. You can go and look at it as wins as opposed to just stats. And if you're doing it that way, roughly every NBA team gets about 500 wins. And if you're looking at five players on the court, your average player at 26, if he's just the average NBA player, is getting about 0.100 wins. And then you're averaging that out with the stats to see how they're affecting wins. That's a little more complicated way to do it. I prefer the stats way, going every 36 minutes as opposed to 48 minutes, which would be what you're doing for wins. And so kind of delving into this, you're looking at 25 to 27 every player, and some of the great players here too, not just looking at averages, but you're looking at Kobe Bryant, you're looking at Tim Duncan, you're looking at Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James. These are guys who, multiple positions through multiple eras, they're really peaking at 25 to 27 range. And now LeBron's a little bit of an outlier because he's very consistent when most players are dropping off consistently at around that 30-year-old range. He is very consistent through 30 to 31, 32. But he is the exception. Almost every other player is hitting that peak and then dipping down. So that's why when you look at a Kyrie Irving, all that to say, that's why when you look at a Kyrie Irving, that's why he's exciting, is at that 25 to 27 range. That's when all these players are peaking.
Yeah, so a couple things here to keep in context. First of all, I think people talked about Kyrie Irving. How did he do before LeBron? Keep in mind, he was not at his peak then. That's obvious, but this is something to keep in mind to put all this in context. Secondly, it's something to think about with Wiggins. If he's this productive right now, how is he going to be at 25? How about Karl-Anthony Towns, right? And we heard this with Ricky Rubio as well. Did he still have something in the tank because he's not 30 yet? This should be, for sports fans in general, basketball fans specifically, pretty straightforward, given that I think just a human being, you and me, 26 to 32, we're supposed to be at our physical peak. Again, I might not be the great exemplifier of this, but that's technically how it is. Having said that, we see this with running backs in the NFL. Hit 30, they fall off the board. With basketball players, there's LeBrons that are kind of physical freaks and seem kind of to avoid injuries at every turn. But generally speaking, you see guys really hit 30, then you see that decline. By 32, they might 33, but they might be out of the league. So this all makes sense. Your research also kind of correlates with kind of common sense or just what people see with their eye, the eye test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so that leads into my bigger point that I wanted to talk about with you today, whereas if we're looking at players under 25, which guys do we like the most with the most potential? Sure. When you're looking at all these things, that all these stats are telling us, all right, so 25, you really want to get those players then. So if you're looking in specifically the Timberwolves, but I want to look outside the Timberwolves later on, but if we're attacking the Timberwolves right now, you see they're going for Wiggins for a 5-year deal. I assume they do the same with Towns. Butler is 27, and they have him locked up for a couple more seasons.
Yep.
So now you're getting all these players either just outside their prime or right in their prime. Is this the best basketball planning in the NBA right now, outside of maybe the Warriors, where they're getting all these players and making sure they're keeping all these players in or right outside their prime?
It's a good question. I think the Warriors benefited from that huge salary cap hike, right, where they can add Durant. That's like kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I think it makes sense for the Wolves, and my argument for Wiggins, which I believe I'll write a column on here soon, is that, I know that's not enticing for fans, but I might do something.
Oh, it's enticing. I'm very excited.
Right,
now.
I think the key is, if you max out Wiggins, give him the max, which they're technically negotiating right now, or they say they are, he's, what, 22?
Yeah.
Doesn't that contract end at 27? So you lock in year 25, 26, 27 at an exorbitant rate, but that's just the rate of a basketball player right now. And so that's my argument, is the player control. Now, you would have Kyrie under control for those years, but with the baggage he brings, with the kind of the knowledge of what he did without LeBron, without the defensive aspect that I think Wiggins can add, that's why this is concerning. This is why this is a conversation right now. Kyrie is at his peak. Is he really going to change? We saw Rubio shoot a little better. Some players reinvent themselves in their 30s. But generally speaking, it's like, you know what a guy is at 25, and they're supposed to just do it for, you know, probably 3 to 5 more years. Jimmy Butler, we say the same thing. You know, can you do it for 3 more years, or were his best years 25, 26, 27? This is why this conversation is so important for Wolves fans right now.
Well, and that brings up a more enticing question too, which is, are GMs looking right now at players, and they're trying to kind of predict their trajectory?
It's all
and
saying, projections. Yeah,
yeah. They're saying, we would rather have these young guys, because you look at the Suns; they didn't want to give. It seems like they didn't want to give up Booker or even Josh Jackson, both guys who they could have through their prime. Boston doesn't want to give up Jaylen Brown. The Timberwolves don't want to give up Wiggins. Is a projected youth guy better than a guy who you know what his ceiling is right now?
Yes, because they can be molded. I mean, some of it's a little bit, the sales side. It's really easy to sell hype. Really easy to sell. You know what I mean? In Minnesota, we know this better than anyone else, because these teams haven't won very recently.
Especially this summer. You and I have been buying into this hype all summer long.
Right. There's the hype for the Wolves. There's, right now, as a guy who covers the Twins, it's hard to fight against the hype for the Vikings. Right? Because we know what the Twins are right now. We don't know what the Vikings can be. We talked about the Wild when they signed Precinct Suter. So, yeah, it's part of the hype, but I think the truth of the Wiggins is he has a question mark where Kyrie, we know what he is. The question mark for Wiggins isn't, can he score? He can score. Is it might be, can he stuff the stat sheet, but I don't think he ever will. It's, can he play defense with Jimmy Butler helping him, with Tibbs helping him, with the same coaching back-to-back years for the first time? And that's why that's important, because at 25, Wiggins might look a lot different than he does right now.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of leads into the next question I have for both of us. I want to pose both of us this question. Do the Timberwolves have possibly the two best hype guys in the NBA? As if we're looking at all guys under 25, do Towns and Wiggins pose some of the best ceilings, maybe like top 10, top 5 best ceilings in the NBA? Because you're looking at Booker, you've got Antetokounmpo, you've got Jabari Parker.
Yeah.
But if you're looking, if you're trying to kind of balance these guys out and make a team of just top 25 guys, is there a center that I would take, or a power forward, whichever spot you're putting him at, that I would take over Towns?
I mean, Davis maybe, but he's older.
Maybe Davis, but you could still put Towns at center, and then I'm probably taking Towns over a Porzingis or a Jokic, any of
some
those guys.
Some people would make a Porzingis-Jokic argument, but Towns seems to be the front runner at the very least, right? I think Towns is solidified as one of those guys who could be 1-1, right? One of the best players in the league outside of kind of the LeBrons and maybe the Durants and stuff. With Wiggins, it's more of a question of there's some competition there. The defense, he has to be a two-way player, I think, to be really special.
And then do you think we can see an extension of maybe a player's peak? Because LeBron is doing this, and obviously LeBron is an exceptional athlete. But
yeah,
with the way that LeBron is approaching basketball, even athletes in general, like you see Tom Brady, he just turned 40 today. He's extending his peak after winning a Super Bowl. Do you think that just with the way we're approaching sports, where it's more of a lifestyle, not just something
that
you hit the weight room for, do you think that they could extend, potentially over even the next 5-6 years, extend us a peak into maybe the 30 range, where you're going from 26 to maybe 30, you're seeing the peak extended?
I think there's some truth to that. Having said that, Derrick Rose, what, MVP at 22? We assume 25 to 27. I know it's easy to pick on Derrick Rose. But isn't there some truth to that? We thought he'd be just one of the best players in the world at 25, 26, 27. What we're finding, he's 28, right? Right,
yep,
this year.
He
signed a $2.1 million contract with Cleveland.
Yeah. No,
but that's knee injuries, right? There's some things you can't account for. I think the question is, does the science max out the peak? Does it extend it, or does it do both? I think it probably does both, but you can't account for wear and tear of an 82, or you have to account for a wear and tear of an 82 game season, freak injuries, just kind of weird genetic things. Look no further than the Sixers. You didn't mention any Sixer, I don't think, in this conversation. How is that not part of the conversation? The whole thing about the process is trying to be a contender when those players are 25, 26, 27, right? And let's broaden that out a little bit. Let's say 26 to 30, 32. And look how the injuries have killed the Sixers, right? Maybe the basketball gods raining hell upon the Sixers or whatever. But you know what I mean? And so
it's all for Allen Iverson spending all those strip club money.
Money. But I think to that point, too, you talk about it being a lifestyle. We see more guys on Tinder as opposed to at the bar, right? We know that there's less guys. Now, the Sixers have this issue, but guys are drinking less. Jimmy Butler's on, you know, the Simmons podcast talking about, you know, I think he's eating kale and, you know, getting enough sleep and all that. Look at Jeff Teague and Taj Gibson, two guys the Wolves brought in. Now, past their peak, technically, although Teague maybe still isn't it, but they talk about that fitness, right? Jamal Crawford, completely. Jamal Crawford is real thin, you know what I mean, and is 37. These guys talk about how getting the rest, eating well, that's when you're on the road in the season, but also in the off season. Playing basketball, pickup games, right? They talk about these big LA pickup games, right? So I think that's a stronger point, that yes, the science has gotten better. That's huge. But it's also players are just smarter now. They're just taking care of their bodies, taking care of their craft. Whatever it is that has created that atmosphere, and I do think it's the Teagues, the Gibsons, the Crawfords, and the like of the world, it's making a difference. You add the science on top of that, all of a sudden you get these guys who, you're right, let's get away from 25, 27, maybe it becomes 24 to 32, or 24 to 30, or whatever.
I do think that the way the game is played helps a little bit as well. I agree with everything you're saying, and too, I think Ray Allen was a perfect image of this, where he was in a slam dunk contest in, what was that, I think 2006.
Yeah.
But then when he's getting older, there's a little more wear on the body. He just perfects the three-point jump shot. And then in today's NBA, when that's so important, he can just stay and ride a bench, be that sixth, seventh guy,
sure,
come into games,
sure,
jack up jump shots. And you see him win a pivotal game for the Miami Heat to help LeBron get another championship ring.
Yeah,
those guys are able to hang around for so much longer because of that.
No, I agree. Reinventing yourself is huge. There's guys that are, you go, where'd they go? Where are they now? And there's guys you say, how are they still there? And the guys who are, how are they still there, reinvent themselves. Blake Griffin, we knew that the high-flying game wasn't going to last forever. He's going to have to do that. And it's a question of kind of what do Towns and Wiggins look like later on in life, but also what does Jamal Crawford offer now versus when he was a younger player. So I think that's all that. It's impossible to predict, but you can feel pretty safe saying from 26 to 32, these guys are at their physical peak, but you have to account for the wear and tear of the NBA season and also that these guys don't spend a lot of time in college. So they're doing that 82-game season at 19. So, I definitely think it's an interesting conversation. It's something that I think we should be clear is fluid because of injury situations, because of personal situations, because of all different type of things. Tom Thibodeau, guys, probably cuts your peak back a little bit just because of the minutes, right? Freak injuries like with Derrick Rose, all that stuff.
You know what's never out of its peak, though?
What is?
SeatGeek.
Oh, God.
SeatGeek is never out of its peak. I am actually meeting up with my roommate later on. We'll probably go to the Twins game later on. You know what app I'm using. SeatGeek.
You got good tickets last time, too. You're right by the press box.
I know. Right by the press box. Yeah. Saying hi to you, distracting you pretty much all game.
Yeah, no, it's the worst gamer of my life.
SeatGeek, just a reminder, all my listeners, use the LOMBA app. Get $20 off your first purchase. Make sure that deal that you're getting is even better with the LOMBA app. I would like to go back, before I want to go back to Kyrie, but first, you made an interesting point about the 76ers.
Yep.
They only have, I think it is 31 games between their three studs, Fultz, Simmons, Embiid. So 31 games, and those are all from Embiid, of actual NBA playing time.
Right, right.
Does that, and I know it should for a lot of people, but there's so much talent between those guys. Does that curb your enthusiasm a little much? A little bit for this team, and does it make the expectations, does that kind of kill some of the expectations and hype for you, or are you just excited that if they can just be healthy, all this raw talent is right there?
Look, I think they can be a playoff team. I think they can contend even if everything breaks right for them. I think the window shortened. I just think it did because these injuries linger, and no matter how much treatment you do, how much we know about the science, how much, you know, these guys are paid. I'm talking the personal trainers are to be on top of these things. There's only so much you can do when a guy really has those injuries. Certain guys will break through it and be fine, but some of them, I think it will hold them back. I definitely think that's a cause of concern. I expect Philadelphia to be, especially with the weakened Eastern Conference, be a player here, but I have a different set of expectations now after all those injuries.
It almost feels like, too, that the organization kind of feels a little bit more of a desperation, even with all these. And it's crazy to say that with all these young guys, but there's been so many injuries between the three of them. The J.J. Redick contract, the contract they gave him, it just feels like they're willing to pay shooters more to be around these playmakers because they think that they don't have a lot of time to keep these guys around.
No, that makes sense.
And so one last thing I want to talk about, Kyrie Irving. I really like the Wiggins deal. I really like keeping Wiggins around, keeping the young guys that have been in the system there. Do you think he ends up anywhere, or do you think he goes back to Cleveland?
I think he ends up a Cavalier. I just don't see San Antonio want to deal with kind of his distraction. The only place I see is New York. I just don't think they have assets to move. That's the only place I see him
going. That might be the best option for all of us.
I think so, and he really could do something if he turns around New York basketball, but he has the same issue. Bad ownership, and bad ownership kills teams.
Absolutely. Alrighty, that is it for us. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your host, Colton, finally in studio here with Tom. Thanks for listening. I will be back again real soon.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.